Do you want to escape the 9-to-5? Or do you want the freedom to work when you want, where you want, and with whom you want? The Art of Passive Income podcast explores opportunities for you to achieve total freedom so you can live life on your own terms. And now, here is your host, Mark Podolsky from The Land Geek.
Hey, it's Mark Podolsky, The Land Geek, with your favorite niche real estate website, thelandgeek.com. And on this week's podcast, we've got a big hitter, Chris Craddock. Now, if you don't know Chris, he is a nationally certified life coach in leadership and one of the top real estate professionals in the world, closing 30 to 65 deals a month. Chris Craddock is the host of the Uncommon Real Estate Podcast, a realtor and entrepreneur who runs multiple successful businesses in the Washington, D.C. area, Richmond and Richmond, Virginia. Chris and his companies consistently bring in close to $10 million in revenue a year after year. His team, the Redux Group, sold just over $160 million in volume in 2020. Chris Craddock, you're a big deal. Welcome to the Art of Passive Income podcast. How are you?
I'm great, man. I feel like I was just Ron Burgundy introduced right there. My apartment smells like many leather-bound books.
That's right. Exactly. I'll admit it. I'm intimidated. So, Chris, let's rewind the tape. And how did you, start to figure this stuff out? Like, what was it?
Yeah. So for me, and yeah, thanks for everybody bearing with me. I'm here on vacation down in Florida with our whole extended family in this massive Airbnb. So I had to find a place where I think we've got like 14 kids here in this one massive house. So I appreciate you guys bearing with me if it's a little bit loud here. But so it started for me when I was, I graduated from college in 2000. I was on staff with an organization called Young Life. And I made no money, but I loved doing what I did. But in 2003, my wife got pregnant and we needed to make some money. So I went to the library and checked out every book that they had on real estate investing. And, I just went out, and one of my whole thing is like massive imperfect action, right? Just move and get something done better than, thinking about it and doing nothing. And so, in 4 months, I made 12 times what I made in a year. And it really was just crazy for me. And so we ended up just kind of putting money away, lived well, lived frugally. But I've got 6 kids, and anybody with many kids knows that the money disappears really quick if you're not bringing in a lot of money, if you've got a lot of kids. And so I think it was 2011, 2012, I got back into flipping houses again. And started flipping houses. At this point, I'd always led large groups of people. And I'd gone back to school. I'd gotten a doctorate in leadership just because, I really believe what Zig Ziglar says is you can have everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And so that was always my view of leadership. And and it served me very well by helping other people win. And so I ended up getting a real estate license because at the time, the way I was flipping houses in the early 2000s after the crash, everything essentially was a short sale that I was going after. And so the banks were paying people a commission if you bought a short sale, even if you're buying it yourself to flip. So I got a license, and I read Gary Keller's book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent. I saw that there was a color by numbers. I know you're an engineer type, love the systems. There was that system, the color by numbers system, to how to make, how to gross and then how to net $1 million a year and build a business and not just a job that you're out working in. And so we started doing that and started doing really well. And then saw that, because we're closing so many transactions, we could start a title company. And then, we had my wife open a mortgage branch, and then open an insurance company and a construction company and just all of these other things. Cause every time somebody buys or sells a house, they're going to need all of these other pieces. And so that was kind of the way we saw, what we call vertical integrations. How are we going to get paid 4 or 5 times in a compliant way on the same transaction? And that's kind of what we've done.
I love the multiple streams of income. And I want to get back to that and the thought process around that. But I want to talk a little bit about leadership. And, it's such a young age. what was it that drew you to go so deep into leadership? And what great leaders do you think are around today that are like excellent examples for us to learn from?
Well, it just depends on what you're looking at, right? Because part of leadership, I mean, leadership is influence, right? Like that's just it. If you can't influence people to move, then you're not a leader, right? Nobody's following you. you're not a leader. So that's really, it's kind of fun to look at what people have done. I love political figures as a good picture of it, right? You see JFK, right? Where he talks the moon, right? It makes everybody in America who was kind of dealing with just like, it just wasn't a great place at the time. And he says, hey, here's the vision. Or Ronald Reagan, right? Who essentially goes to war against Soviet Russia. And everybody, I mean, Jimmy Carter referred to America as being in a malaise, right? And so he goes to war against Soviet Russia, or even Bill Clinton, who literally just, I mean, you saw he was going to win the election just when he had a town hall meeting and he told somebody, you know, she was talking about the pain she was dealing with in her life. And he was like, I feel your pain. And all of America believed that he felt her pain. So you look at these politicians that are able to galvanize just massive amounts of people. I think that's a really, really interesting place to start. And then other people, I mean, I love what John Maxwell puts out there. He's got so many books that, I think that leaders are readers. And so, I think that we can choose our prophets, we can choose our mentors. And so I think that's one of the best things that we can do right now is read these books that they have. So John Maxwell is somebody that I really respect and think the world of. Zig Ziglar, I wish I would have known him, but he's passed. But man, I've read everything that he has on out there, and I've listened to everything he has online. I mean, just everything. I mean, Zig is just the man, and I'd love to be like him. So, yeah, those are the people that have really, really influenced me. But I mean, I'll read somewhere between 2 and 4 books a month. And so I have so many mentors that I've never, ever met,
So if I put you on a desert island, I said, okay, you're going to be on this desert island for 2 weeks. And with this one book, you're guaranteed to be a better leader. What would you choose?
Well, I know it probably sounds like the cop-out answer, but I would say, if I had to take anything, I'd say the Bible teaches you more about life lessons than anything else. And so, that's still part of my morning routine. Every morning is, I read the Bible every single day. It teaches me how to be a better person, how to love people better, how to care for people better. Just there's so much in there that touches everything. So that would be the big key. But, one of my good buddies who has a small business texted me, just yesterday, and was like, hey, what's 5 of the best books that I could read? And I'm like, well, it just depends. Are you looking for personal development and leveling up? Are you looking for, business building and scaling? Are you looking for like leadership development? Like, what are you looking for? And so that's the tough thing where I feel like, the Bible encompasses all of those.
Yeah. There's so much deep wisdom in the Bible, and even, you don't have to be religious, I think, to appreciate the wisdom of the Bible. There's a reason that, this has lasted for so long. And, there's so many, new books that come out every year, but it's the ones that have lasted, the test that they've stood the test of time, I think can really provide the most value to people instead of the New York Times bestseller du jour. And typically when you read those, they're great and they're different stories, but ultimately that core wisdom is from the very beginning. And that's what you find. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just all repackaged and said to, it's so funny. One of my jokes, just because, I'm always quoting other people. And I think originality is forgetting who you stole it from.
So, yeah, originality is forgetting who you stole it from. I love that. I'm going to steal that.
That's original.
I'm going to mention Chris Craddock when I say it too. Yeah. So getting back to the multiple streams of income. Now, was this something that was created out of, let me just ask you, how did you create it?
Well, so one of my business coaches actually just said to me early on, he's like, you know, there's two things. You can get more clients or more of the client. You can get, and he's like, but the better option is both, right? And then the other, you know, there was actually three pieces. The other thing was, why get paid once when you can get paid five times on any transaction, as long as you can do it in a compliant way. And then the last piece is just that, you know, so many people, so many business leaders or business folks are only focused on either top line or bottom line revenue. And if you only focus on top line revenue, there's so many people that have these big businesses and bring in so much money and keep so little of it. But if you only focus on bottom line revenue, then there's not really room to grow, right? You don't have any upside for where you're at. So that's where it's really important to focus on both top line and bottom line. And when you look at these businesses where you can have kind of vertical integrations, you realize you can focus on both top line and bottom line at the same time. Also, you know, I don't know if have you seen the show, The Profit with Marcus Lemonis?
I love it. Yeah, I have.
He's so great. Good. Like, he'll go out and buy a sign company. Well, the cool thing with his sign company is then, like, his sign company outfits all of his businesses with signs, right? And then he'll buy just everything that he does, it'll you know, integrate with all the other businesses. And so that's where, like, I look at my insurance company and we can feed an insurance company just with the hundreds and hundreds of folks that we close every year. Hopefully we'll be closing about 1,000 people within the next, you know, year and a half, you know, in a 12-month period. And so that'll feed and basically get a business up and running and off the ground. And then all you have to do is scale it, right? Because everybody knows the first couple of years is the hardest because you're working to get out of the red and into the black. And the cool thing with having this, like, you know, vertical integration is you already on day one have enough business so that you are profitable from day one. And then you just get to play offense instead of playing defense.
Okay. So let's unpack that, because you're already profitable from day one. So if we look at it like a wheel, right? And the hub of the wheel is going to be your main core business, which for you is a realtor, correct?
Yeah. Right. That feeds all of our others. Yeah.
And then you've got the spokes of the wheel. So you've got the insurance, you've got title, you've got construction. You know, what other spokes am I missing?
So my wife runs our mortgage business.
Mortgage.
We have a Legal Shield business. I have a flipping business. I have a wholesaling business. I'm part of EXP. So anybody that I bring in and help work with there, I get paid in a downline there. I have a real estate, I coach investors on how to monetize all of their leads, because most investors think they can only monetize leads if somebody wants to sell it 65 cents on the dollar. So I've got a coaching business. So all of these things get fed by the people that come into our world, into that flywheel, and they all get fed by that hub.
Okay. And so from a management standpoint, so how do you structure it? Because you have so many different businesses going, even though you have sort of the core client, but then you've got to serve that client in so many different ways. And then I can imagine that managing all these different businesses could be a challenge. But you walk me through it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the hardest part is dealing with bookkeeping and taxes, honestly. And with it, although, I mean, I've saved a fortune on taxes a couple of years ago when I got put in touch with a good CPA, which by the way, if anybody is making any sort of decent money, if you don't have a CPA that somebody recommends you that they rave about, not just say, oh, this person is okay, or this person is good, but rave about, then you're with the wrong CPA. Because I'll tell you, when I switched CPAs and they saved me a fortune, like it was incredible. But But yeah, what I heard from Gary Keller, you know, I had the privilege of being personally mentored by Gary Keller for a short period of time. And one of the things that I heard from Gary that I thought was really crazy is he's like, you can have as many businesses as you want. You can have, you know, hundreds of businesses as long as they're all in a manila folder, right? They're all in a folder and there's somebody's face on the front that's in charge of that business. And that person's face is not yours. And so I was like, it just made so much sense. And so, you know, my title partner is an attorney who runs the business, right? My insurance partner, he runs the day-to-day of the business. Like my construction partner is, he runs the data, he runs the business, right? So I'm a silent partner in that business, right? So all of these things, I'm a partner in these businesses and, you know, I'm able to bring value what I do, you know, scale and help see things bigger and all that. But like, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't write an insurance policy if you paid me, right? Like, which, you know, people do pay us and I don't write it, right? And so that's that whole idea is you get somebody that's really good at what they're good at. And this is something that I've learned over the years. And I've got a big sign in my office that says, are you in your genius zone? Right. And so I know what my genius zones are. I've got four of them that I work to stay in all the time. And then I work to make sure that the people that I partner with are in their genius zones. And actually, that's one of my genius zones is strategic relationships. Like I'm really good at building relationships that are strategic. And, you know, all of those partners are strategic relations.
I love it. I love it. We're singing from the same song sheet for sure. And yeah. I'm a big believer in who, not how.
And
I had Jay Pappas on actually on the podcast as well. For those of you that aren't familiar with Gary Keller, he is also the author of The One Thing, which is one of our, you know, most recommended book. And he's a billionaire. So it's pretty crazy that you were able to be mentored by him. So much wisdom there, I'm sure. But Chris, given your area expertise of leadership and creating all these passive income streams and scaling, what is some of the worst advice you see or hear given in this area?
Well, it's so interesting. I mean, you and I spoke before we got started today. You know, we were just talking about some of the hustle culture. And, you know, I think that the hustle has two sides, right? Like there's the people that say it's all hustle all the time, all grinding. And I don't think that's right. And then there's those that, like, I've got one of my really good friends is like, he is like the absolute anti-hustle culture guy. And he's like, never, 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 never. But I don't know, you know, going back again to the Bible, it says there's a season for everything, a time for everything, right? And I think there's a time for hustle, right? And one of the ways that I see scaling happen is you work, your business has to earn the right, you know, it leads with revenue to build out its org chart. And so what I see is, you know, there's a short period at the beginning where you need to hustle and you need to earn a lot of money. But again, Gary Keller says, you know, that if you grow just by working harder, you're cheating, right? Like that's not how you do it. And I think that's really important. But what happens is you work really hard and then you earn the right to hire an assistant, right? And then you get things that are way below your pay raise at range, right? Let's say you make $100,000 a year. That means your time is worth $50 an hour. If you make $1 million a year, it's worth $500 an hour. If $2 million a year, it's $1,000 an hour. So you look at your pay rate, and as you start making money, then you take the things that are below your pay rate, right? Like whatever your number is, 100, 500, 1 million, 2 million, like whatever your number is, you take that number and the things that are below that, you hire somebody else to do that so that you're then spending all your time in things that are more valuable where you start to get into your genius zone and then automatically your income will go up. And everybody's heard of the Pareto principle or the 80-20 rule, right? That 80% of your income comes from 20% of your effort. And so if you do that, if you work to get rid of that 80%, then you can stay in the 20% and you double, triple, quadruple your income. And that's when I saw my income really, really quadruple. It was when I got out of my own way, stopped doing everything and started hiring people that were good at doing things that I had no business doing anyway.
I love it. I love it. Well, Chris, your mentorship has been invaluable this podcast. But now I'm going to ask you one last question, put you on the spot, and give the listeners your tip of the week, a website, a resource, a book, something actionable for the Art of Passive Income listeners to go improve their businesses, improve their lives. Before you do that, I just have to give a shout out to this, our sponsor of this podcast, which is Flight School. Learn how the next 16 weeks can really transform your life. Start building that passive income quickly, safely, and efficiently with Scott Todd, who's done thousands of deals as your Sherpa. He's going to take you up that mountain very safely. In fact, you're going to start building passive income without any renters, rehabs, renovations, rodents, and the tuition for that mentorship ain't going to cost you nothing. Guaranteed, you're going to make that money back 180 days or less. Just show us your work. Learn more, go to landgeek.com/training. Thelandgeek.com/training. Learn more. Chris, what is your tip of the week?
All right. So tip of the week is to monetize all of everything that you can, make the most out of everything you can do. So if you're buying or selling real estate, right? If you're going direct to seller, make sure that one, you're winning when you buy, and two, any of your leads that are coming off, that are coming out of that, that you're connecting with a real estate agent, you're finding a way to monetize those other deals, right? So that is in the real estate world. But what are the other pieces that we can do to monetize, right? It's leveling up. So here's, it's leveling up all across the board. So whether that's the business there, the other piece is, what is your genius zone? Do you know what your genius zones are? You know, and because that's optimizing you, right? Because if you don't know where your genius zones are, you haven't thought about it, because we are all built and created uniquely. And we're all built and created with certain areas in our life that we are absolutely gifted in. And if you are not spending time where the idea of being well-rounded is bogus, right? Don't be well-rounded. Like, I'm just telling you right now, don't be well-rounded. Be excellent in the areas that you're good at, because the areas that you're good at, if you focus on that, you're going to become 2 times, 3 times, 20 times more effective than if you get mildly good at area. Like if I just got really good at being organized at administrative tasks, I promise you, I would never make the kind of income that I make right now. But when I'm focused on my relationships in pitching vision to folks, by strategic problem solving, you know, like just imparting energy where I go, I'll tell you, those are the things that double tripled. I mean, when I started focusing on that was the first year that I broke $1 million net income, because I started focusing on those things that I really knew I was one of the best in the world at. And then as I focused on that, I got better. So the whole idea is optimize, and I think I got there in a long way. So sorry, it took me so long to get there, Mark, but optimize everything that you're doing, whether it's your business or your life.
I love it. I love it. Optimize everything you're doing. Chris Craddock, fantastic. My tip of the week is learn more about you. Go to chriscraddock.com. And, you know, Chris does have a coaching program. Check out the REI Revive program. And it's advanced training. And just from, you know, this podcast today, you kind of get like a little taste of the wisdom of Chris. I can't imagine what his coaching program could offer. So definitely check that out. ChrisCraddock.com. We'll have a link to it. Chris, are we good?
Yeah, this is great. One of the things that I'll just throw this out there, because early on when I first started in the business world, I would listen to podcasts, and when I liked people's vibes, I would reach out to them, and I could not believe how many people would respond to me. And so I have decided, not an assistant, that anybody that sends me a DM on Instagram, I will personally respond to. And I've actually done some business deals with some people. I've talked to a bunch of people. But yeah, so if you reach out to me at Crad Rock on Instagram, CRADDROCK, old cheesy high school nickname, then I'll respond to anybody and anything I can do to help and serve you, just because so many people were generous with me. I want to be generous with other people too. So if there's anything I can do to serve you and help you, please, you know, feel free to reach out.
All right. Well, thanks so much for this, Chris. I want to thank the listeners and remind them the only way The only way we're going to get quality guests like a Chris Craddock is if you do us three little favors: follow, rate, review the podcast, send us a screenshot of that review, support@thelandgeek.com. I'm going to send you for free a signed copy of Dirt Rich. So please do it. It really helps us out. Helps my fragile ego. So please do it. And it's going to help you out as well, because guys like Chris do check our reviews. And if we don't have any reviews, they're not going to spend their time. Chris is actually taking time out of his vacation to share all this wisdom with you. And I can't thank you enough, Chris. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, listeners. And as we always end it, although Scott Todd's not here today, let freedom ring. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Passive Income podcast. Are you ready to learn how you can start building a passive income without renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents? Schedule a free consultation at thelandgeek.com/training. Let freedom ring.